Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'll be with my dog, Rosie.
And my cat.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't bring it on air.
I'll bring whatever I want on air.
Well, bring him on there.
Because he killed you.
Oh, okay.
Evan went in on you during the break. That
you
was
know
heated.
What? He's Debo Samuel. Is who he is.
What's that mean?
The Dallas Mavericks were better than the Timberwolves. They won in five games. But according to Evan, Minnesota's the best team in basketball.
No, go ahead. I'll let you because you were phenomenal.
Well, no, you kept bringing up in the football conversation how, well, they didn't they never had the best team, or some coach never had the best
Don
team.
Nelson.
Okay, so then we were talking about, well, Goo posed who are the best NBA coaches. We're going on the list, and Finch pops up, and I agree. So then I just asked you if you thought that Minnesota was a better team than Dallas, who they lost to.
I don't.
Even though they knocked off the defending champs in the Denver Nuggets.
It's a better matchup and then, for them.
Well, but then you
Minnesota.
Said that Luka Doncic and Kyrie are both better than Anthony Edwards.
Yes, I said Dallas has two closers, and Minnesota's closer is very young, getting better, but just starting his career after three or four years.
I would argue that Jokic and Jamal Murray are more proven closers than Anthony Edwards, but they beat them.
Right, but what does that have to do with who's better, Dallas or Minnesota?
The team component of this, Minnesota's a better team than the Dallas Mavericks.
So
Dallas has the better duo, tandem, but there's no doubt in my mind, Steiny.
And what I'm saying.
Half the world or more than half would say the Minnesota, their roster is better than the Mavericks roster.
So two guys who have been laughingstocks their entire careers, Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. Towns is the softest guy in the NBA.
If you're talking to Draymond, come on, Steiny. You know I respect Rudy and Cat. You know I'm a Cat fan more than the average. Ridicule? Yeah, but come on.
Well,
they're bringing
is.
Something to the table.
Well, now all of a sudden they are better than Doncic and Kyrie?
No. I'm just saying they're on the. They got more basketball talent on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I disagree.
And I'm including those two guys in the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I disagree.
And Dallas showed a lot of people, look, we can get to the finals.
I just think it's funny how now Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns are superstars when
I got you.
Most
you know,
of the time we criticize them all the
I've
time.
I've been high on Cat, and you can back me up for a long time, Steiny. Is he perfect? No. Is he soft at times? Can he put the? Is he a bad dude? Yes.
The point was,
cat too.
Coaches can get credit for getting to a specific place, but they don't always win just because they have the better team.
Well, I'm disagreeing with that they have a better team. That's all. Than Dallas. That's all.
I mean, you were singing their praises the entire second round like they're about to run the table.
They beat the defending champs. He's right. Murray and Jokic are a problem. Michael Porter. And
but what about matchups? That doesn't matter.
They shut down arguably two of the best closers in the postseason.
Dallas was, there was a lot of, but guys wilted. Guys played soft. Karl Anthony Towns didn't show up. Gobert, whatever, against Dallas. Not taking anything
away
from Dallas.
But then how can they be better?
They could have won that. They could have been in the finals. And everybody thought that's where it was going, Steiny. So that's why the way that it went was like, and Minnesota, what did you say? The year before the year, right?
Exactly. That's another thing. Okay. I think you pulled the old schnookaroo.
Never.
Well, now all of a sudden, Gobert and Towns are supremely talented.
I've been consistent with I would love to see Cat on the Warriors.
What coach has ever gotten more out of Gobert and Cat than Finch?
No, I wouldn't argue.
You got the most out of that team. Let's go to Doug in Wichita. He wants to talk about Purdy.
Dougie.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Just driving around in the semi, doing my thing.
Nice.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Hey, so I was listening. I've been listening all day to the previous show and then you guys, and I heard Steve Young's comments, and I agree with Steve Young, absolutely. He needs to be able to do more, but that doesn't mean he ain't really good right now. And I think over the next few weeks with, you know, McCaffrey out and Debo out and Trent Williams getting himself in shape and Brandon Ayuk deciding he wants to play up to his contract, I think this is the time to put it on him, especially starting with the Rams. Say, hey, man, get out there and improvise a little bit. You know, we got our game plan, but look for those plays. Look for them. See what you can do with it. And every week, as long as he keeps getting better, that's all we're after, man. We're not after him to be Superman out there. And he's not going to go to Marcus Russell, turn the ball over every other play, and we'll be right there. I don't think it's doom and gloom, man.
Appreciate it. No, I don't think it's doom and gloom either.
Yeah.
I think it's
well, it's never sunny when you're missing your two best players, or two of your top players.
But I feel
it's
like
it's kind of funny though, man. We talk about how rich and what is it? An embarrassment of riches that the Niners have on the offensive side of the ball in regard to their weapons. Two are down. And all people are asking is the quarterback's got to be more of a weapon. And now Brandon Ayuk, you got to show up. Yeah. Trent, you got to show up. And Kittle and Juwan and Garrido if we ever see him.
It's hard for rookies to play on a team that's really, really good. And the Niners are playing a lot of young guys already. So,
well,
we'll see about whether Garrido plays or not. 888-957-9570 is the number. Brock Purdy, big game. There's another piece of sound I wanted to go to here, Goo. It's Kevin Harlan, who was on with the afternoon show, and this is what he said about Brock Purdy before he said, you know, he's got to come to play this week.
Right. He's wired the same way the great ones are. We talked to him the other day, and his answers are clear and efficient. His direction on answers, you know where his compass is pointed. You know, all the quarterbacks with presence, and he has gained it even more so than when he, you know, first got the job some 26, 27, 28 games ago, going back a couple years. He's a confident kid, and he's got a lot going for him. And, you know, everybody is saying, well, you know, he's got his hands on the wheel of a Ferrari. Well, good for him. There are a lot of quarterbacks that have their hands on the wheels of a Ferrari, and they start shifting gears, man. They're all over the place. They're fishtailing, and they're ramming into the side rails and everything else. So, listen, he has got those elements working for him.
Wow.
Yeah. Kevin Harlan with the
fishtailing
with the afternoon show.
Yeah. It is, and I've been consistent, and I owe you the biggest apology. And the reason I owe you the biggest radio apology is I just couldn't understand for the life of me. About Stein, I think it's about 2 months ago, you just saying, you know what, when we talk Purdy ball, you know, Goo, I want to see him without weapons. And I'm like, well,
that's not a victory lap.
Well, it is in the sense of it's right upon us.
Okay.
And it's more than what you probably drew up. You said a weapon. Now it's weapons with an S. And it's two huge factors. I'll say this. Outside of give me another player that causes D coordinator stress like a Debo Samuel when all the different facets and the way he can line up pre-snap, like the stress in the backfield, lined up out wide. It's just like it's stupid. And now not to have to stress on that, okay? And now not to stress on giving it to a guy that can take it to the house in McCaffrey. You take away the security blanket of Brock if he wants to check it down. And that's what I saw from Brock. Kudos to 49er Frankie Steiny. In the first two games is you're such a gunslinger trying to make that big play. Maybe check it down and take what's in the flat. And we'll see if he even listens or how they try to approach beating the L.A. Rams.
Let's go to Miguelito in San Francisco. What's up, Miguelito? How you doing?
Hello, Steiny. Hello, Guru.
Hey.
I just want to mention something kind of silly. No one's mentioned the onside putt.
Well, he didn't like the onside kick.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Was that Wisnowski or was that Moody? I think it was Wisnowski, right?
I don't know, but I would have liked to see the look on Shanahan's face when that happened.
Yeah, he got it. He can't recover
what
that.
What happened
until
to the tee? He had it on the ground, laid on the side.
First of all, was it Wisnowski? I want to be accurate about that, or Moody kicking off
on the onside kick.
Yeah.
Did you notice no tee? It wasn't on the tee. I didn't.
Did they hold?
No, he just had it on
the
ground.
Side? Flat.
Yeah, I didn't like. I was like, oh, that's going to be easy to.
It's got
to
go 10 yards still, I think. So he was.
He didn't like it. It was like a putt.
It was a bad.
It just rolled. It didn't do the. It bounced up.
It was Wisnowski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, man.
I mean, it's got to go 10 yards.
And if you look
didn't.
At the success, let me tell you what's died in the NFL. Recovering onside kicks, Donnie. It's like a million and one. So if you need that thing to go your way, you know, good luck.
Don't you also have to say you're doing an onside kick?
Don't you also?
Or announce it?
Well, they lined up. You know what time it is when they're on the side and the kicker's coming to.
So you can't, you can't even catch anybody by surprise anymore.
Well, you can. Well, if you're going to kick off.
I must not know the rule.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I'm not going to front like I do. I just know you can do it whenever you want. What do you mean when you announce it? Now, if they change that, then I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. We should.
Because you see teams trying to catch teams off, catch them by surprise all the time.
But
like in the first quarter, you know, or something.
I don't know if we've seen that yet this year. I don't know. If you have an answer, I'm not afraid to say there's something out there I don't know.
But it definitely wasn't Moody. You got it.
888-957-9570 is the number. And by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. So,
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
So yesterday, when you kind of hung me out to dry with Willard and Dibs.
Right.
So here's what I was getting at, and I'm sure Mark and I'll continue the conversation. So Nick Sirianni was brought up, and it just felt to me like, okay, he's a grandstander, not a very good coach.
We said
kind
phony.
Of a
phony,
kind of a joke, all that kind of stuff. And all I'm saying is, this is the only point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
To me, that would be like some fan in Philly saying, oh, Kyle Shanahan's a choker. He's a choker. He can't win the big one. He's got no clock management skills, and he gets lemon booty when the chips are down.
I would just say like that you fan had some ammo.
Right, but you're coloring the coach in one way only. And we know out here that Kyle Shanahan's a great play caller, and Kyle Shanahan's got a lot of positive traits as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Nick Sirianni. Probably.
Right, but I guess the difference would be, and the joke of this all, you're right, Stani, is you can't, the joke of this is, you look at Sirianni's resume, it's not a joke.
Exactly.
So that's why I was just, what I hear from him with his podium game, the things you hear coming out, and I'm like, man, maybe there's some players have turned on him, his answers, and Jalen Hurts saying he didn't believe in, you know, his vision or whatnot. And there's just, that's why I put my, it was self-centered, me calling him a phony. But if you said somebody in Philly said Kyle was a choke, and then I wouldn't sit up here and be like, oh, you're just in Philly saying that. There's some stuff on the, we could go over where somebody could really believe that.
Go ahead, E.
Yeah, so well, speaking of the Shanahan and the podium, he just announced minutes ago that Talanoa Hufanga is a full participant in practice this week. He will be playing against the Rams this weekend.
Now, that's wow. That's a big boost.
That's good news.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you talk about the secondary and wow, Stoney, even the run, stopping the run. But before he got hurt, he was looking like Ronnie Lott. You know, I mean, he was a bad dude. So that's good news, finally.
Yeah.
That, I'm shocked.
And, you know, just to wrap up the Sirianni thing.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying he's a better coach than Kyle Shanahan. But for the life of me, I don't understand just the kind of the condescension around, like, with him.
Well, let me just
remind 49er fans. Any objective view of Nick Sirianni, whether you think Kyle Shanahan's a better coach than Nick Sirianni or not, and I think Kyle Shanahan is a better coach than Sirianni. But the first 3 years in Philadelphia have been better under Nick Sirianni than the first 3 years under Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Those are just facts. Nick Sirianni took a team that was 4-11-1 and made the playoffs within the next year. Then they went 14-3. Then they went 11-6.
Nobody's arguing.
They have one postseason matchup. Kyle's 0-1 against Sirianni. That's all I'm saying.
No,
Kyle is on a pedestal, and Nick Sirianni gets ridiculed here.
It's not here. It's everywhere about Nick, and it's his choice of words.
But
it's how he treats the media, and it's just
right.
What's our Stoney? If you somebody here at the job, and I said, Stoney, you like that person? I love them. Oh, they're phony. I think they're phony. That's a personal choice that you have made, and it's your life, it's your opinion, and you move accordingly. Everything you just mentioned about Sirianni,
you know nothing about Sirianni.
When he opens his mouth, I can judge because I'm Daryl Johnson. I can judge how somebody is perceived to me.
Right.
And if I think somebody's a phony, I could be wrong.
Right.
But that's all this is about. So you're acting like a perception of a person comes down to what's on paper. It's bigger than
wins
and losses.
What I'm saying is, you saying that about Nick Sirianni holds as much weight as a Philadelphia Eagle fan saying Kyle Shanahan's not a good coach, he's not a good coordinator, he's arrogant, players don't like playing for him, and he can't win the big one. And it's like, that's all fair to say, but there's another part of it too. His resume, they've won with Nick Sirianni. That's all I'm saying. So,
and nobody could argue that.
Exactly.
But as far as why you kept going, like you felt like, well, maybe because three people were all saying, we all just like, he ain't our cup of tea, that set you off.
I don't care if he's not your cup of tea, but when you call him a joke and a fraud.
And phony.
Phony, if you want to call him, I don't think he's a phony.
Yeah.
I think he's weird. I think he's as weird as Jim Harbaugh. I don't think he's a phony.
Yeah,
I think
he's definitely different than that.
He's a kook. But he's got a better winning percentage than Kyle Shanahan in the regular season.
But Kyle Shanahan doesn't have documentation of him having an issue with his quarterback and a relationship eroding over the course of a season.
Okay, doesn't he? See, I would ask you, what is the huge difference between Kyle Shanahan's relationship with Jimmy Garoppolo that went south over the course of a couple years, and where Sirianni is right now with Jalen Hurts, which is they had an issue last year, they're trying to work through it, and you know what? It might not work, and they may get rid of Jalen Hurts, or they may get rid of Sirianni. Like, I see a parallel between Shanahan and Garoppolo and Sirianni and Hurts.
But they moved off of Garoppolo quickly.
And they may move off Hurts or Sirianni quickly.
But we all know Jalen Hurts is 10 times more talented than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Not
so
in
for
Philly.
That relationship
not,
to erode.
No. That's where I am not. Like, Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia fans, believe it or not, think Brock Purdy is better than Jalen Hurts. They don't like Jalen Hurts Philadelphia.
That doesn't shock me
They don't think he's all that. And I think What I hear is Jalen Hurts thinks he's a little better than he is.
Or what does, then real quick here, to Evan's point, maybe Jalen Hurts is like me, Willard, and Dibbs in regard to thinking that his coach is what we talked about in regard to phony or arrogant or fake. Like,
maybe. And maybe the way that Kyle Shanahan treated Jimmy Garoppolo is every bit as unproductive, but he goes about it a different way with characteristics that people don't praise. Double-digit season since Sirianni got here. Well, they didn't. They were 9-8 his first year.
I can't hate on this paper game. It's win-loss, but it was. It's just, you know, when you hear somebody talk, Donnie, they could be successful, not successful, whatever. But we have an opinion. Like, you know what? That guy ain't my cup, or gal ain't my cup of tea. There's just a feeling, and he could be right. He could be the great. What did you call him? Weird. You said he was.
I mean, he is weird. Who would say Nick Sirianni's not weird? Like, he's totally weird. I think
weird can be endearing at times. Most of the times, you know, he's weird. Nothing to see here.
What do you guys think of Dan Campbell as a coach from the 925?
He turned me off. Hey, he's a leader of men, but he's ultra aggressive, and he turned me off in that game against the Niners. So hopefully he's learned from that. But would you call him weird?
Who?
Campbell.
No, I think he's a football head.
All right. I ain't mad at that.
He's pretty weird.
But a football head,
he talks about eating people's kneecaps.
Yeah, that got off to a rough start.
Not that he's not a good coach. I'm just saying he is kind of weird.
So football head, Steiny is meathead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in a good way. In a good way.
I just thought all in the family. Evan's way. Like, what are you talking about, Goo? He was a character, meathead.
I think Tomlin's kind of quirky sometimes. I mean, he's very direct, but he's a little off. I mean,
he's a tough, wannabe tough guy.
Jim Harbaugh is strange.
Let me ask a 49er fans this question. If you could have any coach in the NFL other than Andy Reid, okay, you can't take Andy Reid.
Right.
Is there anybody out there that would take somebody other than Kyle Shanahan?
Oh, well, I got two that come to mind.
Who?
The Harbaugh brothers.
Okay.
I just like what I deem how they coach and teach.
Well, let's get into that a little bit.
Because I got an issue with Tomlin. Well, he's still great.
We can get into that on the other side. So
I like realness,
I would
man.
Say, okay, John Harbaugh, he won a Super Bowl. Jim's the guy that I think's interesting.
Oh, man.
I don't think Jim... I think Kyle Shanahan's a better coach than Jim Harbaugh.
And the deal breaker, why he would get the win is... Like, is there any way you could break that down like a majority of the reason is...
Well, his resume's better. Harbaugh only went to 3 NFC title games, and Kyle's going to 4.
Well, I mean, that's a wash to me.
What do you mean?
They both blew Super Bowls, but Kyle's blown more Super Bowls than Jim. I could say that. And
see, I give credit to the guy who's gone to more Super Bowls. Yeah,
but I'm trying to win this argument, so that's why I was.
Well, I think when it comes to creativity, I don't think Harbaugh can hold a candle to Shanahan.
Well, at the end of the day, is miss me with creativity. It's what you do, how you do it, and sometimes in a game of attrition like the NFL, you know I'm running. We know you know you're running, and we still can run. That's how Jim comes across. And all of a sudden, look at the team. I know it's only 2 weeks. It's the first time in young Herbert's career that they're 2-0. You can't tell me that's not because they got an experienced coach.
So Jim Harbaugh is a better schemer than
No, I'm not
Kyle?
Saying that. A better leader of men, I believe.
Oh, okay. Right. So if you could hire Harbaugh, you would take Harbaugh over Kyle Shanahan with this team right now.
I would. And I'll tell you what. I don't think the whole situation that, you know, we've gotten past with young Jordan Mason would have happened on a Harbaugh team when you went back to the – like, that wouldn't have popped off. That's just my 2 cents.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, we can continue this on the other side, 888-957-9570. If you had your choice of any coach in the league except Andy Reid, would you take anybody other than Kyle Shanahan?
I'm a Harbaugh fan.
I got to think about it over the break. Yeah. But jump in here at 888-957-9570. That segment brought to you by Safeway.
Yeah, so I would have been,
oh boy,
a couple years out of college.
I'd have been 30. I'm scared of Willard.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, fun conversation.
Is it?
I think it is.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
To me, this is one That's of those great. Where, did we plan it? No. But is it the kind of thing that you'd talk about in a barbershop? Yeah, I think so. I just mentioned, you know, like we're talking about coaches in the NFL, and I just said, who would you rather have, Shanahan or Jim Harbaugh? Guru said Jim Harbaugh. I said Kyle Shanahan.
And they're both great coaches.
Yeah. All right. Huh.
People saying I look like a human Academy Award.
Oh, boy, Stoddy. The color is pretty good. That's pretty damn good.
You what?
Nah, you.
Sounded like you were about to say you people, so say what you're about to say.
No, I was going
to
say you're insecure. Stop.
Yeah, I told you the shirt's ugly, but they're having a
fit.
Dude, Stoddy, it is. Mustard is out. Looked like a back from a 70s pimp. Come on now.
It's from the 510. Harbaugh and Shanahan are very similar.
Mm.
Micromanaging control freaks that think leaders have to have all the answers. They don't teach how to read what they see. They just tell them what they should be seeing. They don't trust players or coaches to make good decisions.
Well, that part lost me.
I think those guys were 30-7 in career records with that.
But as far as creativity and being innovative, Kyle would tell John, hold my beer, because John is
the more... John or Jim?
John, both. Oh. More traditional, but it's still effective, however, you know, whichever way you try to do it. But, man... And the Harbaugh brothers, the only one that's won the bowl, John.
Yeah, I just think Jim.
You don't like. I get you like him, but you don't appreciate him.
Well, I don't think he. I
don't think he can welcome out. That's weak to me. Not you said a lot of people. Oh, that's what it's about. He was trying to get to the league, and he went to certain spots, and maybe he did wear them. Okay, but all the teams were successful,
right? Till the end. Like, nobody remembers that that Jim Harbaugh lost 4 out of his last 5 games his last year as the 49er coach. They were 7-4. They finished 8-8, and they missed the playoffs.
That felt like 2-14. That was the end of camp.
Seymour is in San Francisco.
Richard.
What's up, Seymour? How you doing?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Yeah, I say bring Bill Belichick up in here.
Bill Belichick.
The hoodie.
You know what, Seymour? I got a terrible connection. But Bill Belichick.
Well, if it were...
I mean...
Yeah. And that's what's crazy about the whole... Here I go. The whole Andy Reid thing, Steiny. And the biggest L I ever taken in our relationship, but...
One of them.
During that time that we had that passionate debate, nobody saw on the horizon... Kansas City and the success. So much so that he's got 3 rings.
But you assumed that he would never be able to get it done.
No. I guess why I bring that up is the thought of Kyle somewhere else, like I could easily see him first crack at it. You know, things have changed and now I'm in a new place and they're successful. I don't want that because I don't think he's stale at all. It's just... I criticize him the most because I saw him go away for things that were working and the other team had no answer to. So I don't think it's too far-fetched. And Steiner, you can say, Goo, that was 5 years ago. It's about to be 6. Okay, but I can hold on to that. Because the further we get in the seasons, we get further from that, Steiner. Who's to say that Kyle hadn't had his best chance to win as a ball coach? The big one. Because he's been in 2, and, I mean, they have went down to the wire.
Well, you assumed that Andy Reid was never going to have another chance after Philly. Why would we think that Kyle Shanahan, not on another team, but why don't we think he'll get another chance in a year, in 2 years, in 4 years, in 6 years? He might.
Well, just what you pointed out, things are going to change, right? And it starts with the salary of the quarterback, whatever that's going to be. Trent Williams maybe hanging it up in a couple years. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you've been saying it all show. Things change, Goo.
You know, there was one thing that happened in the Vikings game that I kind of wanted to address. And It was the little snippet of Brock Purdy saying to Brian Flores, your scheme is crazy, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't like that, but that's not where I'm going.
Okay, got you.
So, what bothered you about that?
I love this. Thank you.
Yeah.
I never, just who I am, Daryl L. Johnson, I never want to give my competitor more than they actually need. It was obvious that the scheme was giving us fits, but to go up and tell them, I thought that was too, now it's more than points. Now you're confirming, not just to him, everybody in those microphones that could pick that up, that for you to say that, and his heart was in the right place, I just feel like, and I wish Lo Neal, a former athlete, was here, you could speak to, you never want to give them the mental edge. I mean, it is what it is, and they won the game. But when you go that extra, what I deemed extra, Steiny, and I appreciate all the, hey, good game and all that, but when the quarterback, the starting quarterback, like, I don't remember Aikman, I don't think Montana, Young, the old school ones, even Mahomes, would ever say to a coordinator, because you might see him again, that scheme was crazy. I think in my little twisted world, that means something down the road. And I could be totally wrong.
And in my little twisted world, I look at that as, why don't people realize what's going on here? And what's going on here is Brock Purdy saw something on Sunday that he struggled with. Okay? Why do you think he struggled with it? To me, he struggled with it because he's only quarterbacked 25 regular season games. And I got to believe after 35 or 45 games, he will understand those disguises better and will be able to address them more. And that's why, like, the whole thing about the 49ers and the Super Bowl to me with Brock Purdy, why... I also say, like Scott Osler, yes, why didn't they win? Yeah, circumstance, they just, you know, things happened. Like, asking Brock Purdy to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback in his second year, that's asking a lot in a league where these guys learn a lot year to year, and Brock Purdy's probably going to be able to handle that kind of pressure or scheme better over time.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but this was the second time that he had, and maybe that was it, because he had lost to Flores last year on Monday Night Football. So the reason I bring that up, Steiny, is why didn't he do it after? I'm just asking, and he could have, but he didn't say it about Spags after the Super Bowl, where I thought, you know, Kansas City had a great performance. How about the Ravens when they came in on Christmas and did what they did to the Niners? So I guess I was just a bit curious or thrown off as to, and maybe you just said it, is the why was it the second time, or why did you do it that day to Brian Flores?
He's 18-5 as a starter, and the teams he's lost to have been the Ravens, who are a really good team. The Browns had a really good defense last year, and then Kirk Cousins came in and beat him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying that in the grand scheme of things, Brock Purdy acknowledging that he saw something defensively that gave him a little trouble is absolutely positively what happens probably to most second-year quarterbacks when they start developing, and the next time he sees it, he'll probably be better equipped to deal with
it. Okay, give me this.
And I don't know that what Flores did last year was the exact same thing he did Sunday.
No, that's what I just said. It was his second time playing Flores.
Right, but maybe Flores disguised it one way last year, and he disguised it a totally different way this year.
No doubt. But let me take it one step further. Again, who am I? Just my opinion. I would have liked for the quarterback or Brock to have said that at the podium. That's just how I view sports.
Yeah,
but saying it to him right after the game – I just felt like, man, that's really the icing on the cake. And Flores now is probably, it's just me, Stoney, driving home. Just whenever you think about facing the Niners, it could mean diddly squat. But now I feel like he's in the head of Brock Purdy if he had the quarterback against him again.
Okay.
Like, say it at the podium, not, that scheme is crazy. They got after us. That just, I don't know, it's just me.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. Okay. That I don't care about. Like, I don't care that he said to Flores, your scheme is crazy. What I do care about, and what I think some of, you know, we got to realize about Brock Purdy is he is still a very young quarterback. And so when we talk, let's say, about last year's Super Bowl, oh, Spagnuolo was in his bag. Spagnuolo really did some things. Okay, that makes sense. They put it on a second-year quarterback who hasn't had a lot of experience. And what I'm saying is we're expecting, I think at times, Brock Purdy to be 7 years into his career when he's probably still seeing things that he's never seen before, but that down the line, he'll know how to handle. And it's just part of the growing. Like, and that's kind of what I mean. Like, how come the 49ers didn't win it last year? Well, I don't think Purdy was good enough.
Well, Spags is on record in that same game saying he had to throw away the game plan because early on, Purdy was answering all the, you know, he was answering all the questions on the test, so he had to go to something else. But
okay, went to something else. It worked.
You're gonna and now the I'm next time they play, argue maybe with he'll... anybody saying as young as Brock Purdy is, I'm gonna call him a virgin. It being the first time, it being new to him, whatever it is, scheme. I get that, Stoney. But the bottom line is, on that Sunday in the Super Bowl, I didn't deem Purdy being overwhelmed because his team was up 10-0, and he had a large part to do with that being the quarterback.
But they didn't score after 10.
No, gotcha.
So
that goes to what you're saying.
There was an adjustment made, and Purdy
could have been a victim of his own line not making that adjustment along with him.
Could have been the victim of never having seen it before and doing the best he could under the circumstances. Moose is in San Jose.
Moose.
What's up, Moose? How you doing, man?
Good afternoon, fellas. You guys are in the Jim Harbaugh and Shanahan topic little bit, and I wanted to make a comment on specifically on Shanahan. Look, well, first a quick one on Harbaugh. Harbaugh is a leader of men. There's no way he schemes up an offensive game plan better than Kyle Shanahan. I think that goes without saying. But with Shanahan, biggest frustrating point with Shanahan over his last 7 years is, why is it that every time we play a team where a stud wide receiver or their ones on the opposing team, and I get he's not the defensive guy, but why is it that last year Jefferson wasn't in the game, Addison goes off scoring touchdowns left and right, you have Naylor, Munt, all these no-name guys on Vikings this past weekend that are making our defensive studs look like second-rate guys. And this happens countless times when we play against these opposing teams where backup players come in and it's like they don't miss a beat whatsoever, whereas when our starters go out, we're so worried about the Ronnie Bells and I like Jennings, but to some extent Jennings and these guys, like, why is it that our guys can't step in and our offense can't miss a beat? Is he not preparing the second guys in practice as well as he should be, or what's going on with that? That's something I really noticed, and it's frustrated me.
Yeah, I have no idea,
but
I don't know how to answer that.
To his point, Donnie, was he, from an offensive standpoint, one, there hasn't been much opportunity. Two, we just been introduced to what I'm deeming 2.0 beast mode. So when McCaffrey went out, J.P. Mason was born. But as far as how many studs do the Niners have? I guess I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball. I mean, we got Bosa, Warner, and Greenlaw's out. And I can already tell you they miss Greenlaw. I can make an argument they miss Armstead. But, Stoney, I guess the use of studs everywhere, maybe that's what we're starting to see is, yeah, they're big boys, but after the big boys, are there truly, really studs everywhere?
I think Ward's good. Tre'Davious Ward.
Now, he didn't like his assignment or how he was used Sunday, and I'm starting to believe there was some merit to that. Maybe that 97-yarder doesn't happen if he's shadowing Justin.
Theo in the East Bay. What's up, Theo? How you doing?
Yo, what's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Talk to us, sir.
Yeah, I'll touch on that Brock Purdy thing where he gave props to Brian Flores, man. Okay. I mean, You know what? It's cool that he's giving him his props, but for me, I'd want a dog at quarterback. You think Kobe Bean Bryant is giving Tim Duncan props right after the game, losing in the Western Conference Finals? You know, I want somebody who's you know, shake his hand, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, you're still a man. And then he'll give his props after cooling off at the press conference or whatever, but that's just me. You know, the nice guys always finish last, and hopefully, you know, Brock Purdy got that dog in him. But I was really calling to say I'll take Jim Harbaugh over Kyle Shanahan, only because I feel like Jim Harbaugh, he got the short end of the stick. We didn't really get a chance to see what he'll do in after the Super Bowl. I know he had that down year, but I feel like he could have really gotten a team together, rally around him, and made it right back to the Super Bowl a year or two after that. Man, I just felt like he got the short end of the stick. But, yeah, man, as far as Kyle Shanahan goes, it's starting to feel like the 90s Buffalo Bills, in my for a fan, heartbreak after heartbreak, and at the center of it is Kyle Shanahan losing all these games for us. Two Super Bowl now, NFC championships being lost. I just felt like, you know, Jim Harbaugh, if he would have got a chance, he probably would have got it for us. Cheers, boys. Have a good one.
You thanks, too. Theo. Appreciate the call. Well, if you're the next Buffalo Bills, you got two more coming to you. Two more L's coming.
Well, yeah. I was going to count the NFC championship, Philly and the Rams. But, yeah, you're right. That's a whole, man, just imagine that. Four Super Bowl losses.
510, where's the elite processing against the press man teams? Easy to process things when guys are wide open.
What?
I mean, like, I don't, like, when I look at just, without getting specific, like, this is, to me, this is where, like, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. To me, because of Patrick Mahomes.
But what about how they played press man on the receivers and Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle couldn't get past it? Like, that meant something, too.
What I'm saying is I think, and I said this at the beginning of the year, last year, that, man, you know, I think people are really asking a lot for Brock Purdy to be the Super Bowl winning quarterback this early into his career, when he hasn't had a lot of experience playing NFL quarterback. And it doesn't mean he was bad against the Chiefs, but maybe if he gets another 25 games under his belt, the next Super Bowl he plays in, he'll be better because he's got more information to deal with.
Well, I got
that's all I'm saying.
And I'll just say this to that, Stoney. The game waits for no one. And I don't think Kyle and company would have spent 2 weeks getting ready for the Super Bowl, especially after the success in year two or year one and a half from Brock Purdy. Like, I don't think, like, they thought they could win that game, and they should have. It wasn't just, you know, the puberty of Brock Purdy is why they lost. He's not Mahomes, but that's the beauty of sports. That was 60 minutes of football, and the Niners, not just at the quarterback position, Stani, broke down in other areas that prevented them from winning.
Yeah.
And I'm not – now, did you want Brock more season? Hell yeah.
Exactly.
Like, he was good enough to hoist up a trophy.
But – and I don't want to get into semantics. Yeah. No, he wasn't. He wasn't good enough. Like maybe next time he'll be better and he'll be good enough. And I like that's the point.
And there might not be any next night.
There might not be.
Yeah.
But then you pay the price for having a second a guy who's quarterbacked only 25 regular season games going up against a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Mm. And Brock Purdy didn't make a lot of mistakes. He was solid, but in a Super Bowl game, the quarterback needs to win the game.
Well, I guess I'll say this.
And maybe he'll be more equipped to win it this year or next year or 5 years from
now. But I'm not writing checks, Donnie. This is just me. If I don't feel my guy can do that on that stage. That's why, and a Burrow hasn't done it, but I believe he can. Those are why the guys get the big bucks. Because you believe in that situation, they can be the difference.
Right, down the line when they get more seasoning. Like, you've got to make a decision on Brock Purdy.
Oh, they are. And hopefully they'll get another chapter of being able to see him on the biggest stage. But what if they don't?
I mean, part of me is like, you know, everybody, you know, pulling out their hair about the Super Bowl and this, that, and the other thing. Sometimes I'm like, dude, they had Patrick Mahomes. And you had a quarterback who just became the starter 7 games into last season. Like,
it's, I get that, but that's not how the game, it wasn't just based on that. It was bigger than that.
Right, but part of it was Purdy wasn't good enough, and it might have been because he hasn't had a lot of experience. No fault of his.
And the offense wasn't good enough as a whole, Steiny.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. 888-957-9570 is the number, and we've got Crossover coming up next. On 95.7 The Game, let's see, I know what I wanted to play.
Okay.
This is, where's my guy Schlereth? Oh, Mark Schlereth talking about the loss to the Vikings. Was it a bad game or it's a bad sign?
I would say it was a bad game. And, you know, and it was, I think it was a really good game by Minnesota, really good game by Kevin O'Connell, and the way they attacked the 49ers. I thought Fred Warner was all over the freaking place. That guy was amazing. But, you know, I think more of, you know, it was just a bad game. And like I said, Brian Flores and that defense, and they're very good. They really know what they're doing. They're a tough, they present a lot of dirty, muddy looks. And that's one of those things that, you know, it's not just your quarterback, it's other players, it's receivers, it's other players that also get confused and also make mistakes. So that's just one that I would chalk up to, they got us, it was a bad game, we didn't play our best, they made a couple of big plays, you know, you can't give up a 97-yarder coming off your goal line. Like, stuff like that, you know, that's one I would just chalk up to, hey man, bad game, we move on.
That was Mark Schlereth on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday.
I know we're up against. Okay, yeah. As you, just in regard to, I'm thinking of defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen. Would you be more excited about what you did against Aaron Rodgers? Would that supersede the concern of what you didn't see against the Vikings defensively? Is there a balance? Because Schlereth kind of talked about that.
I think the Jets were a team that was
wounded.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, all right. For his first game.
Rodgers playing his first game.
Well, then,
Stoney,
I guess Sunday, I know who's not playing for the Rams, but maybe Niner fans need to be a little nervous about what we're going to see and how you stop them.
Why wouldn't they be nervous? It's an NFL game.
See, I'm stuck on it's the Niners. They'll be there in January. Maybe I need to get past that.
All right. Coming up on the other side, Willard and Dibbs, it's Crossover time on 95.7 The Game.